Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, February the 6th, and we got a great show for you today. A lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, it came out on Tuesday that new Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores signed a 5-year fully guaranteed contract with the Dolphins. He is the only one of the new 8 head coaching hires this offseason to get a 5-year deal. Everyone else only got 4-year deals. So kudos to Brian Flores and his representation for getting a 5-year deal. I wouldn't read much into it, though. I've seen some reports out of South Florida. I've heard some guys on the radio. I've seen, you know, stuff from the social media bloggers saying, see, this is proof that Ross is going to give him all the time in the world to sort of fix the Dolphins, blah, blah, blah. Pump the brakes on that. Number one, in this league, you know, you don't get that much time. We saw coaches this past year who got fired after 1 year. And, you know, Flores is walking into a tough spot. And after, you know, he's going to be here for a few years. After 2020, after 2021, if he's still only winning 3-4 games here, I don't care that he's got a 5th year on his contract. You got the owner's going to, he's going to move on and find someone else who can win games. That's what this is about. Maybe in 2019, he sort of gets a mulligan where, you know, they're going to sort of blow up this roster, and they're not going to give him a lot to work with. I get that. But, you know, not much after that. He's got to win. He's got to show results. And for an owner, you know, if you think after 2020, 2021, if he doesn't see this team moving in the right direction or winning enough games, the fact that he's got a 5th year on his contract would potentially stop him from firing him, you know, you're just being naive. You got your head in the sand. That's not how this works. Because you got the owner who's got more money than God himself, you know, he can move on from him anytime he wants because it's just money to a guy. It's not like this money counts on the salary cap. Not one bit. So, you know, to move on from him, it's just money. And he can. So I wouldn't read too much into the 5th year thing. And you also have to remember the Dolphins this offseason. When they were talking with head coaching candidates, the Miami Dolphins were not in a position of power. They were not in a position to have leverage. In that, you know, when you come out after you fire Adam Gase and say, we're going to take a whole new course, we're going to blow it up, we're going to go with the youth movement, and we might not take our quarterback we want till 2020, and all that stuff, you know, said at the press conference and floating out there in reports, you know, who's going to want to take this job where, you know, in 2019, you might be walking into a job where, you know, you're, I don't want to say set up to fail, but it's going to be tough to win games in 2019. And, you know, to get a coach who wants this job, you might have to overpay. And how do you overpay? You give him a 5th year on his contract. You know, it's not like the Miami Dolphins were able to talk to a who's who of coaching candidates out there. They're talking to young, unproven guys. You know, they're talking to young, unproven guys. And even they were like, I'm hesitant about taking this job because I don't want my first head coaching job and my first head coaching experience to be a bad one where you're saying in 2019, you know, I might not have much to work with. I might not get my quarterback to 2020. I might not have a real chance to win till 2021. You know, not a lot of guys are going to sign up for that. And if you do find someone you want, it's someone that you want to hire, you're going to have to overpay. And that's what they did. They gave him a 5th year when none of the other 7 teams who had a head coach opening had to do that. Tampa Bay didn't. Arizona didn't. Cleveland didn't. The Jets didn't. Green Bay didn't. None of them had to do it. None of them. Only Miami did. Because they weren't negotiating from a position of power. So just keep that in mind and don't read much into the fact he got 5th year. In other news, Tom Brady after the Super Bowl, and I found this quote to be just rich, says he doesn't count the loss to Miami this year, the Miami Miracle, as a real loss. I mean, yeah, we lost the game, but it's not a real loss. I don't consider that a loss. You know, and Tom, you know, I understand what he's saying. That it was a fluky play at the end of the game, and they pretty much won the game, if not for this fluky play. But two things here. A, That play happened in regulation and it counts. Just like the first play of the game, the eighth play of the game, the 12th play of the game, just like the first play after halftime, that play counts. It happened in regulation, okay? It wasn't some, you know, rule that sort of, that was out there. You lost the game, okay? That's number one. Number two, you know, just like you don't count that as a loss, really. I mean, yeah, it's a loss, but not really a loss. I feel the same way on some of your games. Like your first Super Bowl in which, you know, in which, you know, you had the Patriots were videotaping the Rams walkthrough. Clearly, you guys cheated, had an edge heading into that game. So, yeah, you won, but I don't count that as a win because you guys were cheating. And just like your other Super Bowl against Seattle were the year of Deflategate, I don't count that as a win either because you guys were clearly cheating, underinflating the balls, and you probably shouldn't even have been in the game because you cheated to get there. So, just like you don't count the Miami game as a loss, really. Yeah, we lost, but it doesn't count. I don't count those two Super Bowls really as Super Bowls. So you might have six, but I only count four. So me and Tom Brady see things very much alike in that, you know, any game we don't really like the outcome of that we can throw, well, I don't really think that's that. Well, I don't really think that's that. You really don't have six Super Bowl wins. I think he got four. So, you know, that's how I feel about that. And, you know, the quote from, I mean, just, Tom, let it go. You lost the game. And, I mean, it's a year you won the Super Bowl, and the fact you're, you know, you're even this petty about this topic or talking about that game, it just shows a lack of class. And, you know, I'm not shocked, but it just shows a lack of class. Next topic. There was an article in the New York Daily News late Tuesday afternoon by author Karan Phillips. And Karan Phillips, here's his bio, has been a sports, race, and social issues columnist for the New York Daily News since 2017. And it's an article about the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross. And to put it nicely, you know, it's a hit job. It's a hit job on Ross. He bends over backwards throughout the article to attack the Miami Dolphins owner. And he really takes some low blows here. And it's an unfair article, to say the least. I'm going to go through about five or six aspects of this article where I think he is just totally unfair. Totally unfair. And, you know, he almost, I don't want to say he lies, but he really bends the truth, leaves out some facts, and really stretches here to attack Ross in what is a totally unfair article. I'm not going to read the whole article. I will have a link to it up on the website. But here's some parts that I just find just utterly disgusting. The first part here by Phillips. With Chris Greer, a black man, serving as the Dolphins general manager, and the additions of former Colts and Lions head coach Jim Caldwell as assistant head coach, and Packers assistant Patrick Graham as defensive coordinator, two more black men, it feels like the Dolphins are single-handedly trying to address the lack of minority leadership in the NFL. However, before Black America begins to celebrate this historic moment, there is reason to pause, given the man behind all of this, team owner Stephen Ross. Ross has been a habitual hypocrite. That's the first part. Number one, when he phrases the things behind all of this, like Stephen Ross is sitting in his lair with some evil plan and some evil plot. I'm going to hire all black coaches because that's going to make me look good. And I'm going to just waste money and throw gobs of money at these black people to be my head coach and offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and my GM. It's like, are you an idiot? I mean, are you an... I mean, who writes this crap and who actually believes it? And to say he's a habitual hypocrite, which he then... He goes on, and I will talk about some of the examples he uses, which are absolutely flimsy. But to call him a hypocrite in this instance makes no sense because he actually hired these people and he's paying them. He's actually paying these people big money. He's given Chris Greer total power of the Miami Dolphins. He fired Mike Tannenbaum, a white guy. He fired Adam Gase, a white guy. And he promoted Chris Greer, and I would guess with the promotion he got a raise. Okay, just taking a guess he got a raise. But, you know, and then, you know, Chris Greer then finds a head coach he wants, Brian Flores, happens to be black. I don't see what, first of all, I don't see why this is still an issue in 2019, but I guess it is. And it's because of reporters like this who make it an issue when it shouldn't be. You know, it's like Stephen Ross is just, he's just out there trying to hire all these minorities because somehow, you know, that helps him how? How does that help him? Please explain. I don't know, but let's go on, because this article gets worse. Last March, Ross told the Daily News that all of our players will be standing when the conversations around peaceful protests that took place during the national anthem were at their peak. Days later, he then tried to backtrack. I'm going to stop here. It wasn't days later. It was less than 24 hours later. It was the next morning. He gave a speech one night at a dinner, and the next morning he clarified his comments when he saw how the press was running with him. Okay, I have no intention, and here's where Ross's comments here in the article. I have no intention of forcing our players to stand during the national anthem, and I regret that my comments have been misconstrued. I've shared my opinion with all of our players. I'm passionate about the cause of social justice, and I feel that kneeling is an ineffective tactic that alienates more people than it unlists. Okay, again, what Ross said is fair. It's absolutely fair. His first comments were nobody on the team was going to take a knee this year. And he did backtrack some and said, let me clear this up. I just feel that taking a knee doesn't help any causes any, and it hurts the message being sent more than it helps. You know, Stephen Ross is a 78-year-old man. He might have tripped over his words, and the next morning he cleaned them up, number one. Let's say he didn't. Let's say he did an actual flip-flop. Let's say he said one thing one night, next morning goes, whoa, that's not going over well. I'm going to say the other thing. You know, what does that prove? That he's a hypocrite? Or does it prove that he's not entitled to possibly change his mind? I mean, I don't know what that proves and how this sort of ties into Stephen Ross hiring a minority head coach. Like, what's the connection here? The knee issue and taking a knee for national anthem is one of the most tricky issues to talk about. It's one of the most polarizing topics this country has, in that, you know, half the country could care less. Who's taking a knee in a national anthem? They don't care one bit. The other half, they take it, you know, they care very much about it and they're very passionate about it. It's a tricky topic that, you know, you have to talk about in a manner which you try not to offend people so you can actually have a conversation. And Ross, you know, again, the Miami Dolphins have had more players take a knee for a national anthem the past 3 years than any team in the league. No player was suspended. No player was fined. No player was quote-unquote punished. So I don't understand the author here, Mr. Phillips, and this using this as an example to sort of attack Ross. I don't get it. And the author goes on, and this stuff gets better, folks. And if there wasn't enough information to make one give Ross a side eye for his statements about social issues that affect African Americans, again, what are these statements? What are the statements? I don't understand what he's saying. Here's where the author continues. Last year, Ross was honored by the Jackie Robinson Foundation with the Robbie Lifetime Achievement Award for being a longtime champion of equal opportunity. This is the part where I remind you that Robinson didn't rock with the national anthem, okay? I cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag. I know that I am a black man in a white world, wrote the man who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. That was said by Jackie Robinson. So the author is now saying that it's the fault of Stephen Ross for accepting an award from the Jackie Robinson Foundation because he didn't agree 100% with Jackie Robinson in a quote Jackie Robinson gave back in 1947, for Christ's sakes. That's not the stupidest thing I've ever read in my life. I don't know what is. So I guess it's Mr. Ross, who, let's be honest, wasn't campaigning for an award from the Jackie Robinson Foundation. He probably didn't even know that the Jackie Robinson Foundation existed and handed out an award every year. He gets called for this award. We're going to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award for all the work you've done with the minority community over your however many years in the public eye. And, you know, he's a hypocrite for accepting this award. You know, he didn't agree with Jackie Robinson on every little issue. So Stephen Ross is give me a break. This is where the part of the article goes off the tracks. Excuse me. This is where the part of the article is where you have an author bending over backwards, looking and grasping at straws, looking for reasons to attack someone. And this is, once again, Stephen Ross isn't looking for an award from Jackie Robinson Foundation. They reach out to him. We want to honor you this year. Great, I'll show up. Tell me the time and day. We're going to give you an award for all the work you've done as a developer to Manhattan, for all the work you've done to have affordable housing for minorities, blah, 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 blah. That's why you're getting this award. And then, of course, you got the Rise initiative of late, which I'm about to get to and some other things. This is why he's being honored, but because he didn't agree 100% with everything Jackie Robinson said. And let me say this, too, about Jackie. Like Jackie Robinson knew in 1947 that in the year 2016, 17, 18, there's going to be a whole national anthem controversy. And, you know, he could look into the future and know that. And somehow this is tied into Stephen Ross and some of his thoughts. Give me a bleeping break, okay? This author has gone off the rails. At this point of the article, this is a hit job of all hit jobs like I've never seen before. And this is embarrassing. And the New York Daily News should be embarrassed that they actually printed this article. But there's more. Folks, there is more. Back in 2015, Ross created the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, RISE. The nonprofit is dedicated, which he puts in quotes, like dedicated, not really dedicated, give me a break, dedicated, to improving race relations through collegiate and professional sports-based initiatives. RISE has been Ross's claim to fame. Oh my God. Ross's claim to fame as an advocate for people of color. Number one, putting the word dedicated in quotes is almost insulting. And you should have your journalism degree revoked from Morehouse State. That's number one. I mean, how do you do that? Claim to fame. I'm pretty sure Stephen Ross, in his, you know, mid-70s, didn't create the RISE initiative to get famous, okay? I'm pretty sure that wasn't the case. I'm pretty sure Stephen Ross, you know, he cares about these issues. And, you know, this author clearly will never believe that. Never believe that to the day he dies. But, you know, I've been around the Miami Dolphins organization enough. I've met with the people from RISE. I've talked to some people who are tied in with RISE. They care deeply about what they do. And the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross, has poured hundreds of millions of dollars into that initiative. And it's done a lot of good. A lot of good. So for this owner to even question that Mr. Ross is dedicated to this is a joke. And let's be honest. Stephen Ross has done a lot of good for minorities. The owner of Dolphins, Mr. Ross, his real estate company is called the Related Companies. That's the title of the real estate company. He's been in charge of that forever. And some of the stats, the one that I think is the most telling of the kind of person he is, Stephen Ross, over 60% of all of the Related Companies portfolio, over 60% consists of affordable residences, and the company has never converted a single unit to market rent, which means he's giving people affordable housing and he's not jacking up the price over time. Because when I had this one building built back in 1973, I could charge someone $500 a month. And now in the year 2018, I could jack up to rent to $5,000 a month. He ain't doing that. He ain't jacking up the unit to market rent. He's providing affordable housing to residences and a lot of minorities. And that's why people like the Jackie Robinson Foundation are honoring him. Okay. So once again, do some freaking research here before you write a hatchet job article on a guy and know what you're talking about. But it goes on. Last summer, Ross's team announced that any Dolphins player who protested on the field during the Star Spangled Banner could receive up to a 4-game ban under new team policy. Again, this would have taken a 2-minute Google search to clear this up. Every team in the NFL every year has to submit their rules and penalties and violations that they have to the league. Part of the CBA, they have to be submitted to the league so the league knows if a player violates a rule, should you want to enforce it, this is the penalty. Again, the Miami Dolphins, Julius Thomas, Michael Thomas, Kenny Stills, and some others, you know, would take a knee in the national anthem before games in recent years. Not one player was suspended. Not one player was suspended this past year. And again, the thing was, the league asked every team to submit their rules. The Miami Dolphins did theirs first. So they're almost being punished because they submitted their rules first before every other team. So the media, they got their hands on it and go, look, anybody who takes a knee is getting suspended 4 games. Kenny Stills was never suspended for 4 games. No player in the Dolphins was suspended. This past year, Albert Wilson, when he was healthy, he took a knee before every game, never got suspended. No player has ever been suspended. So do some research. Instead of making crap up to try and attack a guy, do some research. It's not that tough. It's all on Google, especially something like this. It's all on Google. The author goes on, and this is where, I mean, it gets downright slanderous on some level. The author, Karan Phillips, New York Daily News. He goes on, in the past, I have characterized Ross as a two-faced con artist who says whatever he needs in order to please the people around him in whatever room he is spewing his propaganda. And I believe that he openly masquerades in public as a person who cares about race relations in his country. Number one, have you ever met Stephen Ross? My first guess would be no, because you're a young reporter out of Morehouse College, and I'm guessing you don't run in the same circles and have a lot of one-on-one encounters with Stephen Ross. So I'm guessing you never met the man. Number two, you say he spews propaganda. Give an example. Anybody can say someone spews propaganda. Give me hard evidence and an example. Because just because he says something you might not agree with doesn't make it propaganda. So say he spews propaganda. That's, sorry for my language, bullshit. And then you can say he masquerades in public as a person who cares about race relations. How the hell would you know what's in this man's heart and in his head? Masquerades around public. Get the hell out of here. You got to be kidding me. How the New York Daily News ran this article and it got past editors and such is one of the great mysteries of the journalism business. Masquerades around. It's like saying that the Miami Dolphins, their biggest fundraiser every year is the Dolphins Cancer Challenge. They raise a bunch of money to help with cancer research and save lives. That's like saying, you know, Stephen Ross masquerades around as a guy trying to help find a cure for cancer. He's really pro-cancer. He's rooting for cancer. He's rooting for people to die. He's just masquerading around. The Dolphins Cancer Challenge is a joke. That's essentially what he's saying. That things like RISE and all that stuff are a joke. And that Ross is a liar. He's a closet racist who's hiring blacks for some reason. He can't really explain this author. And that he doesn't really believe it. Give me a break. Stephen Ross, you know, Stephen Ross could find a cure for cancer tomorrow. This reporter would write an article. Well, he didn't find a cure for AIDS. Like, no matter what he does, he's going to get ripped by a guy like this. Because this isn't a real report. This is a hatchet job. All hatchet jobs. And in closing, I mean, it's just more backhanded compliments and passive-aggressive shots. And I'll just close out with this one from the author. However, on this day, I need to give Ross credit for doing something that no other owner has ever done in terms of minority hiring. Ross has put 4 black men in power on what may be the blackest staff in professional football history. His actions should be celebrated, but that doesn't mean that his past should be forgotten either. Again, what past? The only thing you can make a case for with his past is he sort of, you know, refined his comments on taking a knee for national anthem. Aside from that, you have no past to reference. Your past examples are a joke and laughable. The foursome of Greer, Flores, Caldwell, and Graham should practice cautious optimism in their time in Miami. Not because they aren't qualified to do the job, but because their boss has a history of pretending to be something he's not. So essentially, he ends this awful article saying Stephen Ross is pretending to be something he's not, pretty much. You know, read between the lines. He's a closet racist who hires black people, I guess, just because he doesn't want to come off like a racist. I mean, that's how I read it. I mean, I don't get this article. How this got through the New York Times, you know, I mean, not the Times, the New York Daily News, and got to print, once again, is the great mysteries of all journalism. Ross promoted Chris Greer and gave him power to find the next Miami Dolphins head coach. Of course, Ross had to sign off on it. But it's like Stephen Ross is sitting here, the puppet master, plotting. Ooh, I'm going to hire, you know, a black GM who's going to hire a black head coach, who then's going to hire a black defensive coordinator. And then we're going to go get Jim Caldwell. And it's going to be another black guy to be part of the staff. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with this crap? This is crap, this article. Utter crap. And I hate the term fake news because that term sort of came into our life, what, 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, it's now been sort of twisted and turned and it's sort of made into something it's not. But this article, I hate to say it, it's fake news. It's utterly fake news. There is not, there's very little truth in it. It looks, sounds like it's written from a guy who's never met the Miami Dolphins owner. And I don't know, I mean, this is just disgusting, this article, on every level. And when you look at the newspaper business in this country, you know, for a while now, has been under attack because, you know, people don't buy newspapers anymore. You get your news online, you go to your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. You don't need to actually pay money to get a physical newspaper in your hand to read because news happens so fast. You can just go to websites, you can get phone alerts on an app, you can just go to certain places and get news. So the newspaper business is dying in some regards. And there's lots of reasons why is it dying. Is it the technology? Technology plays a big part. In my opinion, in articles like this, back up my opinion. The reason the newspaper industry is dying is because of crappy content. And this article is crappy content. There's very little truth in it, other than he spelled the man's name right. That's probably the only bit of truth in it. It's crappy content. It's one-sided hit job. If the owner of the, I mean, it's just, it's horrible. And this is a publication, the New York Daily News, who I must remind you, one of the biggest longtime newspapers in New York City. In 2017, they were sold for $1. That's right. They were sold, listen to that, for $1. You want to know why they're sold for $1? Because of crappy content like this that they publish. They were sold for $1. And oh yeah, last September of 2018, they had to lay off, which is a nice way of saying they fired half of their staff. You know why they fired half their staff? Because nobody reads the New York Daily News anymore. Nobody goes to their website anymore because of crappy content and crappy articles like this. So the New York Daily News can write this crap about someone, which in this case is the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross. But that's why they sort of tank their newspaper and nobody even mentions them anymore because they're a joke and they got sold for a buck because nobody wants them. Sold for $1. Think about that. The New York Daily News sold for $1. The whole company, lock, stock, and barrel, because it's a joke. And then last year, they laid off half their staff because nobody reads this crap. And this is why nobody reads this crap. This article, you know, is just so bad on so many levels. And I wanted to just sort of push back on the author here, who I just think did a terrible job. A terrible job. And you can't take him seriously. You can't take the article seriously. But I wanted to push back on that because it's out there. And Mr. Ross, you can attack Mr. Ross for a bunch of stuff. Maybe he hasn't managed the Miami Dolphins correctly. Maybe he's made some wrong hires. Maybe he stuck with Jeff Ireland too long. Maybe he fired Adam Gase too soon. We'll see. Maybe, you know, he did whatever. And you can, that's fair game. That's fair game. You can attack him. But to sort of insinuate this man is a hypocrite, that the Rise initiative is a joke, that he doesn't really, that he masquerades, that he openly masquerades in public as a person who cares about race relations in this country. You don't know that. Stephen Ross cares deeply about race relations in this country. You talk to the people who have spoken to them. You look into the Rise initiative. If he didn't care about that, why would he throw money into it? Okay, think about that. Why would he throw countless, it's not like, you know, people on every street corner are talking about the Rise Initiative. It's not like Stephen Ross is getting famous or getting a ton of good and is receiving a ton of good press because of the Rise Initiative. So the fact that he's masquerading as someone and to call him a con artist, two-faced, spews propaganda, you better back that crap up because that's the type of language that'll get a reporter sued because that is very, very over the top. And you got to be careful when you use that type of language when talking about someone. Spews propaganda. Give me an example. If you don't give me an example, that just shows you have a bias. And a big-time bias. And I don't know what Mr. Ross ever did to Caron Phillips in his life. But man, oh man, Caron Phillips, he went after him with his pen. And, you know, it's a joke. at the end of the day, it's a joke. So that's all I want to talk about on today's show. We'll be back with more shows later this week. I have a guest lined up for Wednesday or Thursday you're all going to want to hear from. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone, go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up. And everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk as well as on Instagram at DolphinsTalk there as well. Everyone, have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.